Thanks, Dustin. Thanks, worship team. Man, that was a good song. I love that song. That's, as we talk about music, I mean, that's, as music goes, that's really good there. Thanks, Pastor Dennis, for the introduction. If I start speaking German, know that the harsh, sounds coming out of my mouth are in love. They're not against you. So it shouldn't happen, but who knows, right? My name's Rudy, as Dennis has said already. I am the ministry apprentice here. I realized I didn't put my sleeves down. So it looks, anyway. I'm the ministry apprentice here. Part of that job is just getting Dustin coffee. Just kidding, he gets his own. Part of that is being able to speak to you guys. When Pastor Dennis told me about this opportunity, I was really hesitant at first because I'm not a big public speaker. But I really, really, as I, the series that we're on is, it's just such a good series. I love music. Music is very dear to my heart, and different kinds of music. And it's such a powerful medium that we can use in our life. We have music that can lift us up. Upbeat music, just makes us happy, even if we're struggling sometimes. At the same time, it can depress us, some ballads can, bring some melancholy feelings in, and it can be, music just has such a power over us. And it's really neat because the Bible has a lot of the same music within it. We have happy songs, we have sad songs. The Song of Mary, she's very happy when she hears that, she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she sings this song, but it's also filled with a bit of confusion as well, which is probably fair in her position. We have the Song of Moses, who, declares the powerful leadership that God has led them through the desert. And, we have the songs of lament from Jeremiah, all these different songs. I mean, we have the Book of Psalms, 150 songs dedicated to different stages in life, different stages in emotion within it. And something that always strikes me, when I listen to these songs, when I read these words, is that I forget the author sometimes. Something that's very important, that's really become really important to me, is this idea that these were actual human beings that wrote this. People that went through stages in life that we do right now, not in the same way, but in very similar ways. And that's something that, that really spoke to me, especially this week, the last month as I prepared for this. And I want to do something with you right now. I don't know how it's going to work, but we're going to see. For just a few seconds, I want you to look at your own life. I want you to take all the decisions that you've made that, have brought you to this place. Not all of them, but, you only have a few seconds. But just everything that you feel like those major decisions that have brought you here. And just think of those. And as you do that, just remember what has brought you here, I guess. Just for a couple of seconds, and then I'll keep going. And now that you've done a little bit of that, now look around, and the people next to you, they did the exact same thing. Something that I love about people is the fact that in this room, we probably have about 1,000 years of experience. As a combined group of people, we have about 1,000 years of, happiness, sadness, love and hate and frustration. And we have all of this in this room. And something that is amazing is that every single person here is just a complex, layered person. And, you know, we get to know someone. I got to know a few people for the first time this morning. You know, they're these complex people, and I get to know them. And within that first impression, that wonderful first impression, I make my judgment of if I'm going to like them, if, you know, they're going to be useful to me, and all of these things. And I feel like sometimes we're missing a big part of a human being just on that first impression. And yes, to be fair, if my first impression of you was you mugging me, I might have a biased opinion of you. I just might. At the same time, even that person still is a complex and layered person that just has so much value. And I wonder sometimes if we take verses in the Bible the same way, where we take one verse that we feel good about and we, that's ours, that's us. And instead of looking at the context, and instead of looking at the big picture, and instead of looking even at just the chapter. And I wonder if that's, that's the right way of using that. I'm not, don't get me wrong. This whole series is based on edifying, like lifting each other up with songs, of spiritual songs, with hymns, and using the Bible in that way, using the Bible to lift each other up. But I wonder if, you know, we fall into that trap of forgetting the context sometimes. I had a professor who drilled this phrase into my mind very deeply, and it's a text without a context is merely a pretext. And simply what he meant by that was that if we use, especially scripture, if we use scripture out of context, we're using it for our own benefit, with ulterior motives. And that's almost like perverting the word of God, because we're not saying what God is meaning to say through us, to us, through that message. And that's why, like, at this church, we read so much scripture. And I love it, because like Dennis and Dustin, when they stand up here and they preach on, you know, what God has done, how good God is, they take the chapter and they read through it, and it's awesome, because we get to experience the entire thing. We don't just get one verse and go with God for this week. You know, there's a context, there's a basis of around that entire thing, and that's awesome. Because we get to experience not just the verse itself, we don't just get to experience what it says to us, but what it said to the author, what the author was trying to say to the people that were listening, or even just to himself. And as we're looking at the scripture today, I want to look at two Psalms, because I think they belong together, mostly because of the language that the psalmist uses. It lends itself to believe that they are one, actually, not two. But I want us to go into this with that mindset, with the idea of a context, what it means for the writer as well as to us in the process as well. So I'm going to read Psalm 42 and 43. You can go with me, or it'll be on the screen as well. Psalm 42, for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul for you pants for you, my Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go? When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The writer of this psalm is mentioned as the sons of Korah. And that's one of the little things that sometimes we tend to overlook, which is kind of sad because there is such a big part that comes through when we read through this. We don't know a lot about Korah. We know, or the sons of Korah. We know that he was a leader within the Israeli nation as they were going through the desert. And at some point, he got disillusioned with the leadership of Moses and Aaron, and ultimately with the leadership of God. And he rebelled because he felt that he was a better leader in that sense, that he could lead the nation of Israel out of the desert a lot faster than Moses was able to. Excuse me. And in Numbers 26, verses 8 to 11, we read something a little crazy. There's so many crazy stories in here. But Numbers 26, verse 8, the son of Palu was Eliab, and the sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. The same Dathan and Abiram were the community officials who rebelled against Moses and Aaron and were amongst Korah's followers when they rebelled against the Lord. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them along with Korah, whose followers died when the fire devoured the 250 men. And they served as a warning sign. The line of Korah, however, did not die out. These three verses could be a full movie. Like, I mean, look at that. Like, just imagine that kind of scene. You know, these 250 men, they're done with Moses. They're done with his leadership. And they're like, you know what? I can lead these people better. I can get them out of the desert faster. Let's do this. And then all of a sudden, the earth opens up. And they fall into this hole and they burn. And it's like a whole mess. And these people are left behind. It's like, what just happened? This is crazy. And just imagine being in the position of the sons of Korah, who just saw their father go against the leadership of the Israeli nation, go against what God had said through Moses as well, and then get killed in such a gruesome way. And it's crazy to see this juxtaposition between the father and the sons. The language he uses, you know, is just so crass, so vivid, where on the one side you have the father who's ready to take arms against the leaders, ready to, you know, take matters into his own hands because he feels like he's not being led properly. And then on the other side, you have the sons who are just ready to take on of what God is asking them to do, even through a very, very dark time. As we, like, some of these verses, they lend themselves to some really questionable, like, conclusions. You know, in verse 3, he says, When can I go to meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. This guy is in a dark place. And yet, through this entire thing, he goes, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. There is this hope of redemption, an almost prophetic confidence that he says, you know what? Things are really bad right now, but they're going to get better. They're going to get more, you know, God is going to save me from this. And, you know, looking at the entire story, we see, you know, this guy just saw, well, these guys just saw their father get killed. And through this entire time, they go, you know, God is still good. And there's a song that is out there, been for a couple of years now, that really is kind of funny how close they are. As I was looking at both of these songs, at the psalm as well, as it's by Casting Crowns. It's called "Praise You in the Storm," and I'll get to the lyrics in a second. But how similar they are in what they're trying to say in their message. Some of the lyrics are, I was sure by now, God, that you would have reached down and wiped their tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear a whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands, praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. And the similarities between these two songs of being in the middle of brokenness, being in the middle of distress, major distress, and yet hoping, reaching out for the hope of God. And that's where the context leads us. This is what the context is all about. You see where this guy started writing his story down. And anyone who knows me knows I love stories. Stories are absolutely my favorite. And reading this psalm, you can see the story unfold to some extent. And then he's in the middle of it still. And he's ready to take on the rest of it. And the context then leads us back around to songs that we're singing 4,000 years later, praising God within our midst of brokenness, in our midst of anger, frustration even sometimes. And even a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dennis was preaching on the song "It Is Well," where, you know, the writer, the composer of the song, wrote a song even as his spot where his whole family died. And he can write the song of powerful reconciliation with God, where he knows that his soul is doing well within the sight of God. And these are the stories that we sometimes miss when we look at just verses, when we just look at things that matter to us versus things that, you know, matter to the writer. And I'm not saying don't, you know, use verses, you know, even out of context. Use them within their intended context. And that's as much as to me, really, a reminder, because, you know, as someone who loves stories, I sometimes get caught up. I forget what the actual message is. And these weren't people sitting in, you know, comfortable, warm towers up in the middle of, you know, nowhere, so, you know, no storm could touch them. These are people who were right in these situations. These were people who were going through that pain. They weren't, you know, hiding from it. They were going through it, and they were seeing God work through that. And this is why this sermon series is so close to my heart, because it matters so much, and sometimes I forget. I'll just pray with us, and then we'll hear another song. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for bringing us this big story. Thank you so much for us to be able to be a part of that story, that we can live and breathe your purpose in our lives. Father, I want to thank you that you gave us that context of redemption through Jesus. Father, I want to pray that as we go from here, as we go through the last couple of weeks of summer, that we could experience you in our context through somebody else's, that we could see other people around us, that we could see what they're going through and then see our context within theirs. And I want to pray that you would just bless us, that you would bless us as we're going around and intimately walking with others, that we could be a part of their lives and they could be a part of ours. I pray these things in your name. Amen.